attorney Richard Kirkpatrick, board-certified orthopedic surgeon from Ortho's Central, a member of Norman Regional Health System. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I guess technically it's afternoon, isn't it?
That's right.
Because it is lunch with the doctor. We are dealing with some very unprecedented times right now, and we wanted to ask a few questions that are based on what people are going through. As coronavirus cases increase every day, people are feeling more and more fearful. What advice can you give to people who are feeling that anxiousness every day?
Well, this is an amazing time in the world, and a stressful time for really literally the entire planet. In many ways, there tends to be, in circumstances like this, especially where there's new information coming along every day, and this kind of lack of full understanding of about what the situation is, this sense of loss of control. And so I think it's important for folks to control the things that they can control. The things we can control is following the recommendations from your local civic leaders about social distancing, about staying home as much as you can, about making sure we're taking care of our families and close ones, and trying to avoid contact with other folks that might put us at risk of either transmitting the disease from person to person or group to group.
What can you tell us about why this thing is so unusual? What is novel about this virus that's making it so difficult to deal with?
Viruses are around all the time. We have, thousands of different types of viruses that cause infections and potential, like colds or flus, of course, we know about. COVID-19 is a novel virus, meaning we haven't been exposed to it before, and so we don't have any built-in types of antibodies in society to help fight that off. So it's very transmissible, and because we haven't been exposed to it before, it becomes a very serious illness. Over the course of, multiple years from now, the viruses typically become less virulent, become less harmful or serious over the course of time.
So our bodies basically just need to learn to recognize it, and then hopefully the next time we get the virus, our bodies will go, okay, I know what that is, let's not get that.
Correct, yeah, we'll develop antibodies towards that specific virus, and some of the treatments that we're actually starting to use now or have been considered, which aren't new treatments, but they're taking plasma from patients that had this virus that have developed antibodies now, and they've recovered from the virus, taking their plasma that has antibodies in it and using it, giving it to patients that are extremely sick from the illness, in hopes that the antibodies that those patients that have recovered can then help those patients that are still not developing those antibodies. So it's absolutely correct that over the course of time, after we get exposed, we develop these antibodies, our immune system has a memory, for lack of a better term, and whenever it's re-exposed to that, those antibodies that we've stored come back and fight much quicker.
Now, here's another question for you. Since we're hearing so much about this and we're reading so much about it, what are the most common misconceptions about the virus?
I think some of the most common misconceptions, and at least we can see it, just the data we're shown, is it's not perhaps as widespread as we might think that it is. So if you look at numbers and you say there's, 700 or 800 cases in the state of Oklahoma, well, those are positive cases. Those positive cases are folks that have had the test that came back positive. And there's plenty of patients, probably maybe up to 10 times that have symptoms of the virus that probably have it, that don't qualify for the testing or need the testing, especially when the testing's in short supply. So if we look and think, well, that's not very many people that have it, it's actually not true. There's many, many more people that do have it. And those patients can be, or folks can be in your community, have minimal, if any, symptoms, but can be transmitters of it to folks that are more vulnerable for it. So that's the reason why it's so important to consider when you're out and around that you either carry the infection or somebody else does that's around you, so you can stay away from it.
That's actually really good advice. On a regular day, the hospitals are full of people who get sick. They're full of people who, say, for example, if you have a very active child and that child is out, skateboarding in the street and falls and breaks an ankle.
Right.
We don't want to take them to the emergency room right now. So what are your suggestions for that?
Well, certainly the emergency rooms are still here for emergent problems. And that's still the case for even issues that are more routine other than COVID. So if you have a significant injury that needs to be looked at on an urgent basis, by all means, I still think that's the appropriate way to go. However, if it's a sprain or some type of injury that you potentially could wait or call through your primary care or call through some place like our office that does virtual visits, we could perhaps do that and avoid you that risk of going into an emergency room where there might be exposure to other patients that may have it. It's same similar to what we talk about in our patients that have relatively mild symptoms of either a cold or flu type symptoms that may in fact be COVID. We want them to avoid the emergency room because a lot of those tests that come back are negative. And so we're really, what you're doing is exposing yourself to potentially a high population of patients that do have it. So you go there without it and come back with it. So you've got to be careful about that. But there's certainly avenues for you to be seen and treated for those other minor injuries too. By all means, if it's still an emergency, you can still use those facilities.
All right, I have a mom that was asking a question. Janine asked this question. Because you've got the kids at home and everybody's cooped up, what kind of things can we do with the kids right now to keep them entertained and ourselves as well? I mean, we're not going, like for myself, I mean, I walk 6 flights of stairs every day when I go to work, and here I am in my spare bedroom. I haven't left my house in 2 days. What are your suggestions for that?
Well, it's been a major struggle just in my house. You know, we all know all about our personal experiences. In my house, I have, you know, one of my oldest daughter is a nursing student at the University of Arkansas, and she's back home. I've got another daughter who's 17 who's a competitive gymnast, and they're closed down. And another son who's 15 who's very active as well and plays golf and all those types of things. And so they're kind of scratching the walls. So we've found ways to make sure that we're doing an exercise program at home every day. Those are readily available online. A lot of services out there giving those away basically free right now. So you can get access to those types of programs if you want to do that that don't require equipment in your home. My 17-year-old daughter got a bunch of sidewalk chalk, and she's been coloring the sidewalk just to stay busy. As long as you're practicing social distancing, we take our dogs for a walk in the neighborhood. I do think it's important for us to be outside, to get fresh air, to do some activity and exercise. Exercise is extremely important for our mental health and physical health during this period of time. And we can do those things at home for sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to add as a final shout out to people who are dealing with this thing right now? I mean, the width and breadth of it just seems endless right now. We don't even know what to do with all of our feelings and all of our fears and concerns.
I agree. And that's the same for the medical community and for the hospitals. We're on a constant state of shifting ground, of trying to make sure that we're covering the contingencies that might occur from our practice of orthopedics, which is primarily elective. We've got a lot of urgent things, but most of it's elective. So we had to shift away from that into doing virtual visits and postponing some of those elective procedures. But if we'll continue to stay the course and do what's being asked of us, which is continue to be diligent about, you know, hand washing, social distancing, taking care of the things that we need to take care of and trying to limit the spread of it, this will pass. All things pass. There have been times in American history where it seems that there's things that are going on that are insurmountable. And sometimes it feels like this will be too, but we will get through it. It will be over with at some point down the road. And hopefully we've learned to, in many ways, be better citizens because of it and look out for our other fellow neighbors and folks in our city and towns better because of this.
Dr. Kirkpatrick, it has been wonderful talking with you today. It just makes me feel so much better hearing a voice of a medical professional helping us through these times and knowing that you guys are out there to answer our questions. This feels so awesome.
Thank you very much.
Richard Kirkpatrick, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon from Ortho Central, a member of the Norman Regional Health System. Thanks for joining us on Lunch with the Doctor on 98.9 KISS FM.